Now, our reading this morning is still in the book of Exodus. For those who are visiting, we are going through a series in the Ten Commandments that we have called Boundaries and Blessings. So that's slide up for us, Phil. Thank you. And we're looking at seeing the Ten Commandments as a blueprint for life. We're looking at each of these Ten Commands through a positive lens of how they're there. Yes, it's a boundary, it's a limitation, but it's there to be a blessing for us, something that God has given for us to enjoy for our benefit. And we find ourselves at the fourth commandment this Sunday, Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11, where God says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy."
So, good morning, everybody. Now, I have had this horrible cold this week, so I'm hoping my voice will last out. So today we're thinking about the fourth commandment, and some would say it's a really good example of a commandment that has a direct blessing for us if we follow it. Rest is something we all need. It's something our bodies and our minds have been created to need if it's going to function healthily. So before we go too far, I think it's good to think about the background of this passage. If we look up here, so there's the Israelites. So it was given to the Israelites who'd recently been slaves themselves. They had witnessed many great and scary things. They'd also witnessed many great and scary miracles and plagues that had finally led to them to being able to escape with not much more than their lives. They were running from an evil Pharaoh who had enslaved them, maltreated them, and tortured them. So this idea of forced labor and overworking was a real experience for all of them. However, the idea of Sabbath, which basically means to rest, was not a new idea. In fact, if you were to ask anybody now, or even back then, what were the two main distinctives of Jewish people? And they would say that the men are circumcised and that they observe the Sabbath. So they were the two great distinctives. So right from the start of creation, we see that God rested on the seventh day. And we're told to do the same. There's some debate about whether Genesis was written before or after Exodus. But it is widely thought that Genesis and the story of creation had been an oral tradition for many years before it was written down. So the Israelites at the time knew about this idea of rest. They knew about that God rested on the seventh day and that they should do that as well. One of the things I find difficult or think about when it comes to creation, so many people get hung up on this idea that was it actually 7 days? Was it thousands of years? But I actually love the idea of this because Einstein told us that time is relative. When you think about our time, it's basically how often we circle the sun. So if God created the sun, he's obviously outside of time. So it's not really a big deal to think whether God made this earth in 7 literal days or whether it's 7 symbolic days. Because later in scripture we see that for God, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. So I always think about that if you think about time, it is all relative to our experience of revolving around the sun, which God created. But in that, he was showing us that we need to rest on the 7 days. Another idea of this rest came with the Israelites eating manna. So if we look at the next one. So they'd already established this idea of rest on the seventh day. But when manna, which interestingly means what is it? Maybe they named it because the first morning it arrived, everybody went, "What is that?" And so they called it manna. But we see that God's telling everybody to get up early in the morning to go and collect manna for the needs of their family. But if they didn't get up in time, the sun would melt it away. If they collected too much and were a bit greedy, it would get rotten and spoiled by the end of that evening. However, on the sixth day, they were told to collect double so that they didn't have to work on the seventh day, which is quite a miraculous thing. But again, was showing them, God was telling them and guiding them that every day, every week, they had to rest on the seventh day. Have you ever wondered what manna tastes like? I don't know, was it like a prawn cracker? Was it something more flavoursome? I don't know, I do wonder. I read somewhere that somebody thought it tasted of honey and something else, but I don't know what it actually tasted like. I wonder if it tasted like different things. But one of the things we look at when we look at this commandment, that God wasn't just telling the people that the important people, the priests, needed to rest on the seventh day, or just the men needed to rest on the seventh day. He's actually telling everyone they needed to rest. Maybe God needed to spell it out because he knew maybe members of the family, maybe members of the society would expect other people to still have to work. So it's quite good that God's including everybody. So we'll go back to the passage, which says, remember the seventh day, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, nor you, your son, your daughter, male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any other foreigners residing in your towns. So everyone was to rest from work. And this was a blessing. It was a liberation. Maybe God knew us too well that if he didn't make it a commandment, we'd just ignore the advice. And we'd rely on ourselves to provide everything we need through our own work. And quite honestly, that is a temptation for many of us. After all, if we don't work every day, who's going to get all this work done? There's so much that needs to be done. There's something deep inside of many of us that wants to be the master of our own lives. We want to be the ones who direct our paths, and we want to rely on ourselves. However, part of this commandment that we're told to God to observe the Sabbath, it was intended as a twofold blessing. A physical rest, which our body and mind needs to function healthily, but it was also a physical reminder that God is the author of our destiny and our lives ultimately rely on his provision. So by resting on a Sunday or taking a different day, Sabbath day each week, if you have to work on a Sunday, which a lot of people do now, you're basically saying, I trust you, God, to provide for me, even though I'm not working today. There's two modern examples I've came across, and there's probably more, of companies that have chosen to not open on a Sunday. One of them in America is called Chick-fil-A, and one over here called The Entertainer, which is a toy shop. The Entertainer owner, back in 1991, became a Christian, and he'd already had the business. And he decided in 1991 that he wasn't going to open any shops on a Sunday because he'd become a Christian. But then the rules changed. It wasn't too difficult for a couple of years. And the rules changed in 1993. Both companies along the way have found opposition. For example, some shopping centres refused to have the Entertainer as a unit in their building because it was closed on a Sunday. But actually, both of these companies have got great success in their business. And by sticking to their Christian convictions, they've not only been successful, they've also been a witness to many. So in America, it's very well known that Chick-fil-A is owned by Christians, and lots of people know about it, joke about it, but they know. So to get back to this, to the Israelites and the Ten Commandments, this idea of resting from when you're a farmer, which was the main occupation of most Israelites and most people for many centuries afterwards, especially at harvest time, is actually a massive sacrifice. It's a massive step of faith in the peak harvest weather to say, I'm not collecting it today because I'm a follower of God. But lots of people have over the centuries, and God has blessed them. So what about observing the Sabbath today? Is it something we should all be doing? The simple answer is yes. However, there seems to be two main chains of thought or camps in Christianity when it comes to observing the Sabbath as Christians. There's those of us who are very legalistic about the view, often from a traditional or conservative Christian background. And then there's the other camp, which tend to be a bit more lax or dismissive about observing the Sabbath, and often are from a more liberal background. So what's your view on keeping the Sabbath? I think both approaches have good and bad points. So let's think a moment about which camp you might be in. So let's think about the first view, the more legalistic view. This view is very similar to the view of the religious leaders in the Old Testament and New Testament times, who by the time Jesus was living had made more than 1,500 additional rules, which included forbidding to prepare a meal, sewing on a button, lighting a fire, walking more than 3,000 feet from your home, and many more. Although not many Christians today would apply these kinds of rules, people from a more legalistic viewpoint of Sunday observance have hints of that idea. They often make many rules, but they have changed over time. If you go back as far as the Puritans and some of our more strict brothers and sisters from traditions such as the Brethren, there are many rules that the Pharisees of Jesus' day would recognise and be pleased with. However, today's version and strict observance of Sabbath normally forms their view of remembering that the Lord's Day is a day to cease from work and worship God. Some who follow this tradition go to church two or even three times a day. Imagine that, guys. However, they would still cook meals, they still would invite people for dinner, and they would spend the day with them. In the past, playing games or sport together was seen as worldly and therefore would not be allowed. However, people from the more strict view today probably wouldn't say that. They would be happy to spend time together, to play games, and for children possibly to play sport. But I think, you know, we need to not be too critical. This view isn't an unbiblical one. It's not necessarily bad. It definitely makes people stop and think about God and focus their lives on Him. They're depending on God to look after them, even if they don't work on a Sunday. In fact, it was this strict approach and belief that prevailed in wider society that actually led to those poorer people in society who worked in factories, other grueling jobs. They actually got a break, often the only break they got from the other days of the week, which they worked from sunrise to sunset. I can guarantee you that those people didn't think not working on Sunday was a bad idea. And that was a good thing. So in 1993, that's when it changed here. Up until then, Sunday observance was a strict thing here. And they lifted some of the restrictions. So now many people have to work on a Sunday. And as a nation, we don't have a common day off. Although some professions, like nurses and doctors, never did. But having a good day, a same day off, was a good thing. Interestingly, after 1993, there was a campaign to change the trading laws, to make Sunday a normal day as every other week. And when they put it to the vote, 90% of people did not want further trading hours. Clearly, people realised that they were missing the benefit of having a day off when life was quieter and most people didn't have to work. Those of you as old as me or older will remember towns being quiet on a Sunday. The only shops being open was a newsagent or maybe one or two others. And do you know what's amazing? We all survived. There wasn't the end of the world. The apocalypse didn't happen. What's another interesting fact is God's obviously made us that we need a rest every 7 days. After the revolution in Russia, they decided that they would experiment making the week 8 days rather than seven so that the factories would produce more and Russia would become richer and stronger. But they actually found, when they changed it to 8 days, that the production went down, that actually the productivity of the people was less because they actually needed a rest every 7 days. So they went back to the 7 day week. It's almost as if God, who created us, knows that we need a rest, This is why he made these rhythms in Hebrew society. He also included other times of rest, like every 7 years, letting the land lie fallow. Interestingly, today, scientists are saying that this is a good idea. It reduces the use of fertilizers and makes the land more productive. Again, maybe God knew what he was doing. There are several other festivals this year, in the Jewish year, where people have to rest. And every 7 years, it's a year of Jubilee, when slaves were set free, debts were cancelled, and people had to rely on God. Freedom to rest and focus on God was very important to God and his people, and therefore it should be important to us. I think the biggest trap of this legalistic sort of view is that it makes everyone follow it become really legalistic, leading themselves to be very judgmental on themselves and of others. Therefore, they're not resting and being at peace. They're actually becoming too focused on rules and each other rather than God. So let's think about the second approach. The second most common approach to the Sabbath is a more passive one, one where people often dismiss the need to observe the Sabbath, citing that if Jesus didn't observe it properly, healing people and eating grains in the fields, then neither do we need to worry about it. They sometimes cite verses like Mark 2:27-28 that says, "Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." And they use this to sort of back their claim. However, I think they're missing the point. And the fact that they're missing out on is the freedom that observing the Sabbath will actually give him. The verse in Mark isn't saying that the Sabbath shouldn't be observed. It's actually telling them that the Sabbath is a time for rest, a time for when they're not criticising themselves about every little rule. I do think that it would be good if everybody had the same day off each week, so that you can have time off as a family. And that isn't always possible. And working in church on Sundays, serving other people, isn't always restful. Just ask them in creche. However, it's important that everyone has a Sabbath rest every week. Our minds and our bodies work best with this routine and rhythm that it regular rest gives. I was on a mental health first aid course a few weeks ago, and one of the homeworks they set us was, you need to do something fun and restful for 1 hour in the week till the next part of the course. Something that fed your minds and your souls. It couldn't be for anyone else, and it couldn't be any form of work. It had to be something you enjoyed and something fun. And it was actually really hard to do. Several people completely forgot to do it, and as the guy leading it started to go around the circle, you could see them frantically thinking about events of the last week that might possibly qualify. And actually, it is quite hard for us. I think in some ways it might be harder for us as Christians as we try and do so much for others and for church. So I'd like you to think for a moment, what things have you done this week when you just got to do something you enjoyed? What have you done this week that just brought you peace and enjoyment? What have you done just for fun? It's quite difficult when you think about it, isn't it? Maybe some of you are very good at that. Some of us are very bad at that, including me. And I think this is why God makes such a big deal about us having a rest and doing something positive and focusing on God. And I think that's why it's so important. So why is it a Sunday and not another day? There's a lot of debate about why Christians have a Sabbath on a Sunday instead of a Saturday, as most Jewish people still do. And of course Jesus did, and all the great people of God before him, they celebrated on a Saturday. Some say it's because the original disciples, many of them were Jewish, and probably still had to observe the Sabbath on a Saturday, but had additional worship times on a Sunday. Others add that Sunday became special because Jesus was resurrected on a Sunday. So that's why Christians worship on a Sunday. And both these factors are probably true. But it wasn't until after Emperor Constantine converted to Christianity that he declared that Sunday would become the official day of worship to worship God across his empire because he was a Christian. So today, most Christians around the world celebrate the Sabbath on either a Sunday or a Saturday evening, although some still observe it on other days. So Christians in Islamic countries often celebrate it on a Friday because that's the national day off. Personally, I don't think it really matters what actual day. What matters is that you take a day off and rest and focus on God. And again, if it could be the same day of the week, that really helps to establish a good rhythm for your mind and your body and your soul. And if it could be the same day as your family and community, then even better. So for most people in Britain, that would be a Sunday. And obviously we gather to church and worship God, but you can also do that in your own time as well. So in summary, we thought a little bit about the two main approaches to the Sabbath within modern Christianity, but I would suggest there's actually a third way, and that's to observe the Sabbath and be committed to observing the Sabbath, but with the freedom that God intended. After all, God knows your heart. Nothing is hidden from him. He knows your actions. He knows your intentions, regardless of what it looks like on the outside. So the Sabbath that is mentioned in Mark 2:27 suggests that it's the benefit for us and to keep us focused on God, not a reason to dismiss it. I think of all the commandments, 10 commandments, this one is probably the one that as Western Christians we're most likely to break and feel the least amount of guilt in breaking it. Yet in doing this, we're harming ourselves and we're harming other people around us. Today's society is very common to feel overwhelmed, worn out and anxious. Mental health experts say that adults and young people have never been so stressed, have never been so struggling mentally than they are today. And this is despite our lives being more comfortable materially than any generation before. We've got more time-saving gadgets. We've got more gadgets to help us around the house. Yet we seem to have less time. We're often told time is money, but in reality, time is priceless. No amount of money will buy you more time in your week. No amount of money will buy another year of your life. Time is precious. Maybe partly to blame for this overstressed state we find our society in is because the lack of rest, the lack of peace, and a massive lack of focusing on God. Maybe that's what's making us all our society so unhappy and unwell. Some sociologists suggest that in a 24-hour period, we're bombarded by more than 3,000 messages to persuade us we need something we don't have. And I can believe it, especially if you're linked to the media or the internet in some way. We're constantly being told we need more. You need to do more. We need more of you to do this. But God is saying what we need to do is less, one day a week. Clearly there's something fundamental about being human that means we need rest and have stillness. This is something that can be really challenging in our busy lives. However, if you can't have a whole day rest and time with God, it'd be good to think about when can you have Sabbath times. Times to read your Bible, times to focus on God, time to thank God for all that he's done for you. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." God never said, "Be busy and know that I'm God." Psalm 46 teaches us, "Be still and know that I am God." Maybe take a minute to think, when are you still? When are you at rest? Do you have any times in your week where you experience peace and stillness and the closeness of God? Maybe for you, work, school life, church life, friends are all about loads of activity. You've got to-do lists. Maybe thinking about setting aside to rest and have time with God is too difficult. But maybe think about when could you put that in your time next week. Maybe choose a time. Maybe it's an afternoon. Maybe it's an hour before you pick the children up. to have a little bit of time of resting, doing something that brings you close to God. There was a story I read when I was looking at this about some tree cutters. And you hear the story of a walker walking through the woods, and he comes across two men cutting a tree. And he walks up to them and says, "What are you doing?" Really rather annoyed, one of them said, "Can't you see? I'm sawing down this tree." "Wow, you look exhausted," the walker replies. "How long have you been trying to cut that tree down?" "Oh, over 5 hours," the men say. "We're completely worn out. This is hard work." And the walker says, "Well, why don't you take a break a few minutes and sharpen the saw? I'm sure that would make it go faster with a sharper saw." Exasperated, the men say to them, "I don't have time to sharpen the saw. We're too busy sawing." So many of us are so busy that we have very little time to rest and very little time for God in our thoughts and our schedules. God can become completely missing from the fabric of our lives. Maybe you're thinking a bit like that man or men sawing the tree. Maybe you're thinking, "Take a rest. How can I possibly rest? I have so much to do. I have a family to support, a home to run, bills to pay. I don't have time for resting. And I certainly don't have time to do just nothing and focusing on God." And in a sense, I totally get that. I'm a bit like that. One member of my family said to me, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "Well, I'm talking about God's message about rest." And they said, "Wow, that's a good message for you as well, isn't it?" And that's true. You know, and I do try and make a time to stop. And I do am making a real effort to just make time to choose and focus on God. And when I do, it actually makes a big difference. Whatever it is I'm facing doesn't change. But my perspective does. And my appreciation of God's ability to change it does. So maybe we need to change our perspective. Maybe we need to stop thinking we are the centre of our world and the author of our lives, and we need to focus more on God. Anybody remember the BlackBerry phone? Put your hands up. Remember the BlackBerry phone? So those of you who don't, there's a picture of it there. At the time, it was groundbreaking. In fact, I can remember working for an organisation that these BlackBerry phones were so sought after, only the special people got them. Only the high-ranking managers got these as a work phone because they were so cool. But the story goes that the creator of BlackBerry was approached by his team with the idea of adding a touch screen to the BlackBerry and moving away from the little keyboard idea. However, he refused to change it, insisting no one would ever want a phone with a giant piece of glass on the front of it. However, at about the same time, a similar conversation was happening at Apple. Apple at this stage, most profitable product was the iPod with the spinning wheel on the front. But Apple decided, unlike BlackBerry, to take the risk and go for a touchscreen phone. And the iPhone was born. Out of interest, does anybody still have a BlackBerry? I bet there are people who haven't even heard of them. So the point is, if we don't change our perspectives, if we don't change our lifestyles to be more focused on God and his plans for our lives might be lost, or at the very least diminished in the midst of our own plans and our own lives. If you are someone who has approached Sabbath Sunday with legalism, today is the day to rethink and focus on God's true freedom. If you're someone who has disregarded the importance of Sabbath and resting and spending time with God, today is the day to refocus on God and his freedom. I think it's important to keep it simple rather than really complicated. And this was the problem with the Jewish rulers. They made it complicated with over 1,500 separate rules, when the answer is really about simply looking to God and his word to guide us, so that we make regular Sabbath times with him and our loved ones. Ultimately, the commandment to keep Sabbath challenges us. It challenges our values and highlights our priorities and shows us where we put our trust. In Psalm 23, David records the following: "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And I love the fact that sometimes when we really need him to, God makes us lie down. He puts rest over productivity. He restores us when we need it. The rest and space allows our minds and our bodies to heal, to help us be more creative, to problem solve, and to leave space for doubt and questions. God wants us to create Sabbath pauses each week, making time to rest, recreate, and to have fellowship with our families and others, and to reflect on his provision for us.